We're always battling boredom. But where, tell me where, has it gotten us? Everything still's a doggone humdrum. Stuck in a rut, getting nowhere fast. Humdrum blues, fighting the future, mad at the past. Humdrum blues. Oh, honey, when you ain't got money, then you just can't do as you choose. Just gotta live with the humdrum blues. Each day, just like a day.
Oscar Brown Jr., Humdrum Blues. Some of us have that because, you know, the quarantine and stuff. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 4 o'clock, as we are every weekday night into the morning. And we've got a classic Carson bit that we're going to be playing here. We always play classic Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson Show, by the way, you can watch on Antenna TV every night. And we're going to go back to 1987 and do some stand-up with Ellen DeGeneres, some early Ellen DeGeneres stand-up back then. We also have, Ask Dr. Nick. These are questions from Yahoo, what's it called? Village?
Yahoo Answers.
Yahoo Answers. People asking questions, so Tom's going to ask them to me, and I'll try to answer them. And Know Your Onion, it's Wednesday. That means it's time for Know Your Onion at 3:30. That's when we get two contestants on the line, and Tom will read news headlines to them, and if you can tell the difference between a real news headline and a headline from the satirical newspaper, The Onion, because real news is weird right now, so sometimes it's hard to tell if it's real or it's from The Onion, and you'll win a prize if you get them right. Jim Fry passed away, so we're going to talk about some of the more memorable managers and coaches in sports. Jim Fry was one of my favorites. And jigsaw puzzle sales soar, so we're going to talk about challenging jigsaw puzzles. That's coming up as well. Lots of people are doing jigsaw puzzles to occupy their time because they're stuck in the house and they're bored. But my guest says that quarantine could fix our broken brains and says sometimes boredom is good. And that's Joe Fassler. Joe, how are you?
Doing well, Nick.
Good.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Tell me about your background. Where are you from, and when did you start writing and all that?
Sure. So I'm actually from New York City. I spent my whole adult life in Brooklyn until really a couple months ago when I moved out to Denver, Colorado. I'm at CU Boulder this year in a faculty fellowship in journalism there. Mm. But, I've been writing for a long time. I'm one of those people who it's something I've always been interested in since I was a kid. And one of the things that I started doing, you know, as I worked on my own fiction and nonfiction, you know, I've been working for, talk about boredom, I've been working on a novel for about 9 or 10 years that's finally coming out next year.
Oh, okay.
One of the things that I did to try to, you know, support myself financially as a journalist was for The Atlantic. I've done, you know, hundreds of author interviews with other fiction and nonfiction writers, you know, learning about how they approach the creative process, and actually talking about boredom sort of indirectly has been a big part of that. Mm. Because writers, of course, are the kinds of people who, you know, shut themselves in a way, in a room, away, you know, by necessity in order to kind of, you know, explore that half conscious, brain as they write. They kind of have to be in without stimulus to do that. So I've had a lot of experience talking to people who kind of tap into the creative side of boredom over the years.
Okay. Well, there's a book called Light the Dark, of which you're an editor, you're the editor,
yeah.
And that explains what you just said. Tell me a little bit about the creative processes of writers. And it's probably different. Each writer is probably different, but there might be some commonalities. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting because it is so idiosyncratic, and everyone has their own approach and habits surrounding it. But one real through line is that you really do need to be alone. So writers are often, you know, I don't mean this to sound glib, but are often kind of in this self-imposed quarantine state where, you know, you have to get up really early in the morning to do it, or stay up late at night when the rest of the world kind of shuts off, and
yeah.
And making time for it. So in some ways, what we're all going through now is and sort of dealing with, you know, being alone a lot or harnessing, you know, the wandering mind is something writers are really, really used to.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, this is making me think now, Joe, having this conversation with you, that you know, maybe about a year, a year and a half from now, we're going to have some really great novels that are going to come out.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, truth is stranger than fiction sometimes.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, watching society upended in this way, it for better or for worse, kind of gets the imagination going. So,
mm-hmm.
I agree.
So, but boredom in general, it's kind of a broad idea. How would you define the feeling of being bored?
Yeah, well, I think the interesting thing about boredom is that it's almost a universal experience. I mean, probably, you know, most human beings who are able to kind of be self-aware have experienced boredom in some capacity, and yet it's kind of historically been understudied. I mean, there was a paper in 2012, I think I cited in the piece, that said, you know, boredom still lacks a working clinical definition, because it's sort of seen as this unpleasant, sort of trivial emotion. It's evaded serious study until fairly recently. So there are kind of a number of sort of evolving definitions out there. The way that I think about it is boredom is an emotion that sort of seeks it's a feeling that seeks the end to itself. You know, it's a restlessness. It's the feeling that I don't, you know, I'm stuck somewhere and my mind is wandering.
Yeah.
But the sort of useful, I think that mind wandering aspect is very important, because though boredom is very subjective and kind of hard to pin down, what researchers can actually look at more concretely is the moments when our minds wander.
Mm.
And their sort of technical term for that is task unrelated thought. So when we're in a position where we're doing something else, but we're not quite engaged enough to have it occupy our full attention, and our minds can kind of wander away from the task at hand, that's when some really interesting things start happening in the brain. And it's also probably a pretty good indicator that to some degree we might be what you might call bored.
Yeah. Okay. Joe, hang on. Joe Fassler is with us. He has written a piece called Quarantine Could Fix Our Broken Brains. And we're all stuck inside, and sometimes the boredom gets a little bit crazy. We're going to talk about how we can make that a positive. And if you want to jump in here, 312-981-7200, we're going to talk about what your brain does when it's bored, how you can fill that boredom and be more creative. 312-981-7200 for talk and text.
She passes by. I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy. To have a girl like her is truly.
It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. Phone number for talk and text is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And guest right now is Joe Fassler, who is a writer, and he edited the book Light the Dark, Writers on Creativity, Inspiration, and the Artistic Process. And he's got a novel coming out, too. And he wrote a piece about a quarantine could fix our broken brains and that boredom could be good. Joe, welcome back.
Hey, yeah, thanks, Nick.
Okay, so how do you personally experience boredom?
Well, it's funny. I mean, right, part of the reason I wrote the piece is because I'm stuck at home, you know, like most other people in the U.S. right now, and I'm actually not boredom is a little bit hard to come by. My 3-year-old son is home with us. The schools have been shut down in Denver where I live, and
right.
My wife and I are both, you know, trying to work, and you know, I'm trying to finish this book while also caring for him full time. So
sure.
It's a pretty common experience right now. And it's pretty intense. Obviously, you know, people are dying. There's many, many grave situations unfolding right now. But I think one very sort of common experience is that people are are stuck at home, often with children, and often, you know, quite stressed out about the new and very sudden changes to their lives. And yeah. So one thing that I had kind of noticed, though, was that instead of being with my son, fully being in the moment, you know, when it was my part of the day to watch him, I would often be, you know, kind of looking at my phone, trying to check emails, sort of do everything at once as this kind of response to my own professional stress of this situation. And part of the reason I wrote the piece was to remind myself that that there's more to life than being endlessly productive, and to try to find moments of stillness, you know, when I'm with my son, that I can let my, you know, being with a 3-year-old is incredibly fun and engaging sometimes, and it can be, you know, quite monotonous at other times, and I'm trying to be okay with letting my mind wander, and letting my thoughts sort of go where they will without necessarily reaching for my phone or trying to distract myself, which is a very different experience than just kind of letting your thoughts self-generate. And one of the things that was fun about the piece was learning about the scientific basis of why making space to do that can be so valuable.
Well, tell me a little bit about that, the scientific aspect of it.
Sure. So, basically, researchers have studied mind wandering, which is itself a sort of increasingly hot topic within, you know, cognitive science. And what they found is that we spend a lot of time engaged in what they called task unrelated thoughts, which is you know, often what happens when we're bored, but when our mind starts to kind of wander from what we're doing. So, you know, if it's a really intense moment of crisis or something, largely our brains are going to be occupied with the immediate moment at hand. But when you're on a kind of lower level of engagement, whether you're doing something monotonous, you know, washing the dishes or, you know, doing a sort of routine chore, the mind can start to wander and self-generate. And actually what's interesting about it is we spend much of our time engaged in this kind of thought. One study thinks about 2,000 such thoughts a day, each at a duration of about 5 seconds, which ends up being like kind of hours a day. Over the course of a lifetime, again, one study, you know, thinks it's 50 million task unrelated thoughts, which I kind of did some back of the envelope math. And if you were to sort of transcribe all that, again, this is sort of unscientific and imprecise, but just to kind of get at the volume of that, it's like, it would be like tens of thousands of pages of thoughts. And, you know, the research shows that a lot of these thoughts are not necessarily valuable in any sort of objective way, as in it's not like they're all eureka moments, though most people describe these thoughts often as pleasant or useful. Of course, you know, we can obsess and worry over things, and the way our minds wander can sometimes be a source of stress if we're really fixated on a problem. But a lot of people sort of self-report their self-generated thought as pleasant and useful and interesting, even if it tends to fixate on relationships or memories or things that are more subjective. But what this actually really seems to be, and this sort of evolutionary basis of this kind of thing, is really a problem-solving mechanism. Many self-generated thoughts tend to focus on the kind of upcoming 24-hour period.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because, you know, I can be watching my son or washing dishes, and at the same time, if my mind is wandering, I'm thinking about a call that I might have for work or an interview that I might do or just even kind of how I'm going to approach dinner and what I'm going to cook that night and what ingredients I'm going to use. And the idea is, wow, like we can sort of start planning, and we can actually be making a lot of progress in terms of solving the immediate challenges that we face while we're engaged in other activities. And scientists increasingly believe that this is this amazing gift that we have, this huge volume of self-generated thought that allows us to solve other problems while we're doing other things. And for it to go go another layer with it. For very highly creative people, you know, whether they're artists or, you know, innovators in some other ways, this sort of thought seems to play a crucial role in terms of their own creative problem solving, whether it's on a work of art or an innovative disruptive business model or something. So, but that said, the science shows that those kinds of thoughts are not actually that different from like the grocery list that you might build in your mind. They're actually more alike than we might think.
Yeah. Joe Fassler is with us. He is the editor of Light the Dark, and we're talking about how quarantine could fix our broken brains and boredom. Maybe not such a bad thing. Joe, I happen to be one of those people whose mind races all the time. I'm one of those people. It takes me about 90 minutes on an average to fall asleep when I go to bed because my mind is always thinking about things like that. I'm very rarely bored because of that. But sometimes it's really aggravating, especially when I want to get some sleep.
It can be. It absolutely can be. And certainly, you know, in the studies they've done of mind wandering or self-generated thought, people do report, you know, that their thoughts are stressful. And that's part of what's going on, too, right now. I talked to a man named Johnny Smallwood, who's a really influential sort of mind wandering researcher. Mm-hmm. And the way he described it is that, you know, mind wandering is when your brain tries to solve problems. And right now we're all facing a problem that that can't necessarily be solved, is this pandemic. You know, I mean, it's going to be solved. There are researchers who are working on vaccines, and there are things we can do as a society, but on an individual basis, you know, we need to basically stay home and deal with ourselves. And so we can't, you know, we can try to apply our thinking and our sort of anxious thought stream to this problem, but we're actually not going to get anywhere except for stressing ourselves out. So one of the ways that I'm sort of, you know, talking about boredom in the piece and in my own thinking is to try to disengage from that a little bit, you know, try to let myself off the hook, as it were, and know that my mind's going to race. I'm going to want to be checking the news all the time, looking at the progress, looking at the infection rate, you know, thinking about the future, do we have enough food, you know, that kind of thing. But actually, you know, my mind wants to solve that problem that it can't solve right now. And part of the value of boredom, if we can, as something we might try to cultivate, is to back away from that a little bit and find time for the mind, if possible, you know, to focus on other problems that we might have, whether they're creative or interpersonal or professional.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. By the way, we got a text here, Joe. And if anybody wants to call in how you're dealing with your boredom right now, being stuck inside, you can text us or call us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. 630 area code says, "Hey, Nick, my 18-year-old daughter has been writing a sci-fi novel for the last year, and the quarantine has given her much more time to focus on it, and your guest is very interesting." So there's somebody.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, there's someone who's, you know, trying to finish that book, like you, Joe.
Yeah. I think, you know, it is again, because of the way our society is set up, the temptation right now is going to be, I think, for many people to focus on work, you know, to if you can work remotely, and many people can't, but if you can, to just take the fact that we don't have this division right now between home and the office and just make your home the office and completely engage with whatever it is you do for money, if you can do it remotely. But we all have creative projects and creative pursuits to varying degrees, and if you can carve out the time, and it is hard. I mean, my 3-year-old son is home, and it's very, very challenging right now for me to find time to write. Yep. This scenario does allow for that, and I think for some people who can be, you know, creative about making that time, you know, there is a silver lining here.
Yeah, you know, I happen to personally, Joe, I live alone. And so this, you know, and I don't go out very much anymore. My lifestyle has changed completely since I got sober a few years ago. And so I just don't, I don't go out as much. And so me staying in my apartment alone is kind of a, how I was living before this happened. So my mind has already adjusted to that kind of lifestyle. And so, you know, dealing with staying in is not as difficult for me as it is for, I think, a lot of other people. So that's just a personal thing, you know?
Yeah, and everyone has different relationships to this. I mean, a lot of the writers who I talk to for Light the Dark and for the Atlantic column tend to be, you know, they might be outgoing individuals, but also tend to have a very strong solitary streak. And personally, as a writer, you know, now that I have a child, a young child, I don't go out as much as I once did either, but I really cherish that time. You know, it's why I'm always doing crazy things like getting up at, you know, 4 and 5 in the morning, because I want to have room in my life for hours that are not just completely focused on, you know, my job and my direct work, but time when my mind can wander. And the way that I've found to do that personally is to structure my thoughts through writing. And so it's really, really important to me. And certainly some people hate being alone, but there can be a lot of value to it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Joe, hang on a second. Joe Fazler is with us. He's the author of Light the Dark, talking about how the quarantine could fix our broken brains and how we deal with boredom. It could be a good thing. 312-981-7200. Good for your brain too. We want to hear from you. How are you dealing with the quarantine? How are you dealing with your boredom? Text or call us at 312-981-7200. Nick DeGilio on 720 WGN.
Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama, 'cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out.
All right. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Skyline studio here till 4 a.m. At 4 o'clock, we head over to Bradley Place with our partners over at WGN TV and listen to an hour of news and information and fun from those guys. And then the great Bob Surratt starts at 5 for your morning drive. We're here 24-7 to keep you informed, to keep you company, and to get through this. And we're all going to get through this together. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We're talking about being bored at home. We're all quarantined. And sometimes quarantines can fix our broken brains. And we're talking with Joe, writer Joe Fazler, who has written a really interesting piece about being in quarantine and how it can fix our broken brains. You know, it's really interesting, Joe, that we're capable of being bored with the despite the fact that we have all this, you know, instant entertainment. We've got our phones, we've got computers, we've got all this stuff, and yet we're still capable of being bored.
Yeah, I think so. Though I would say it's probably increasingly difficult. You know, the piece that I just wrote about quarantine is sort of a follow up to a piece I wrote a few months ago, where the sort of argument was that boredom is this vanishing natural resource in the modern world, and that's you know, obviously things are a little bit different now that we're all stuck at home, but certainly there are all these ways that we have to distract ourselves. And I think it makes sense why those can be so appealing. I mean, when the mind wanders, you know, it can be the sort of arduous process. We often tend to fixate on our problems, and often it can be just easier to do something that stops that from happening. So putting on a movie or listening to a podcast and let something else organize the structure of your thought instead of, you know, letting your mind sort of self-generate. And so, you know, I totally understand that. And certainly what a lot of people do need right now is distraction, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I also wanted to draw attention to the fact, you know, that average human mind generates these 50 million task unrelated thoughts over the course of a lifetime, and it's where a lot of our ideas come from. It's where a lot of our problem solving comes from, and it's really just an important aspect of being human, you know, of that experience of letting the mind wander while we're engaged with other maybe more monotonous activities. And I think we should still find ways to make room for that.
Yeah, I mean, my mind wanders all the time, Joe. it does. I've been that way ever since I was a kid. Just my mind is always running. Even if I'm engaged in something, my mind sometimes just goes off into a different place.
Yeah, and I think that there, you know, one of the things I looked at for the piece, and I didn't get so much into it, but that experience you just described certainly has some stigma in American culture. It's, you know, it's being a daydreamer. It's, you know, not having your head in the game. And there's sort of this negative perception of mind wandering. And that's why I think this vein of research is so important. As I mentioned before, certainly the wandering mind can sometimes be a source of stress.
Yeah.
But it really plays a crucial role in our own sort of emotional well-being and problem solving. And so it's not a bad thing, and it's actually far more active than it might seem.
You know, it's interesting. You know, Joe, everybody handles these things differently. You know, especially being alone or being, you know, quarantined or whatever it is. But there are also people who are workaholics, who are constantly trying to work. Is there any advice that you have on them just trying to slow down, have a little leisure time?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, one of the things that I found out writing the story is that the idea of boredom, as in our modern sense, is really a pretty new phenomenon. I think it's probably a universal human experience that people have felt for a long time. But the word boredom did not really start appearing until the 1700s and 1800s, and by the mid 1800s, it was suddenly like on fire. Before the 1700s, it had never really appeared before. And part of the thinking behind that is that when the Industrial Revolution started, our work lives were suddenly way more kind of bracketed than they'd ever been before. So in more traditional communities, work and play and leisure were sort of more intertwined. Mm-hmm. You know, families might, cook together or have, you know, or people, I mean, it sounds funny now, but people might sing songs as they work together, and sort of work and play were a little bit more fluid. Once sort of 8 or 10 hour factory shifts became the norm, it was seen that, we have this stark division between work time and leisure time. And with that new invention of leisure time came new anxieties about, well, what should we do with our free time? Mm. And if our time is valued in terms of the work that we perform, how do we actually value the time when we're not working? And boredom as a term and as a popular phenomenon seems to have arisen out of that anxiety. And I think in our particular moment, one answer that we've formulated to the question of what to do with our free time is to work more, is to never stop working. And I think that's something that's really key right now is that it's in some ways, if you're home, and especially if you don't have kids, it's maybe easier than ever to justify just working all the time, because we are still anxious about our free time. It is ambiguous. We're not sure if it's meaningful or why it is. And since our society so values work and money, well, why don't we just take any time where we might conceivably have as downtime and use it to work and use it, you know, for our income-paying jobs. But I'm trying to push back against that a little bit and say, even if you're looking at your life through the lens of productivity, you're actually missing out on something important if you don't allow your mind some time to wander. There's going to be solutions and creative thinking that you deprive yourself on by trying only to focus at the task at hand. But at the same time, that's part of being human, is not only being a completely goal-oriented individual. And the sort of wonderful and beautiful and strange insights that we might have by kind of backing away a little bit, I think are really important to recognize.
Yeah. Okay. Joe Fassler is here. We got some people who are calling in. We're all, under the quarantine. Everybody has got to stay home, and boredom comes up. And how do you deal with it? How do you deal with it? What are you doing during the quarantine? 312-981-7200. Here's Matt on WGN. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how you doing today?
All right, what's up?
Well, since I've been stuck at home, I've been starting to do like little drawings and doodling and stuff with stuff. And kind of it kind of looks better than I'm a better artist than I thought I could be.
So you're drawing more and everything seems to be improving in terms of that. So that's keeping you busy and you're enjoying that.
I would say it's practice.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So then in some of my doodles, I come up with stories behind them. So I have a quick 30-second little story for one of them.
Okay.
Okay. When we dream together, we can guess. But when our bodies are apart, we can't feel our dreams. It's like we come apart at the seams. But we're coming together when the night reveals what the day conceals. That's the dreams we live for. The ones our guide to life we ride with you in plain sight with my eyes shut tight. Miss you, loved ones, on this path like runs. But these dreams won't stop. They just grow. Another hero pays the toll. Passing dreams soul to soul.
All right. All right, man.
I almost started crying.
Yeah. But, all right, Matt. So, thank you.
You like that?
Yeah. Thanks very much, Matt. Stay healthy. All right. There you go. Well, see, there you go. Being creative is another way to deal with the boredom, Joe. And that's what that listener was doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that desire for the human self to express itself, whether it's through art or language, is so important. And often, you know, what it requires to kind of engage with that creative aspect of the self is a little bit of boredom. Boredom is an emotion where when we experience it, we want to transcend it. You know, we don't want to feel listless. And so we'll look for activities that are fulfilling as a sort of, you know, antidote or counterweight to that. And one, you know, classic way that people deal with that is through art and creativity. And I think the listener is one example who's taking this time and using it to try to indulge that creative impulse. I think that's a good thing in a moment like the one we're in now.
Yeah. 708 area code. By the way, if you want to call or text us and tell us how you're dealing with being in the quarantine, how you're dealing with the possible boredom, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 708 area code says in a text, hey, Nick, during this quarantine, how I'm dealing with my boredom is I'm working from home until further notice. I'm catching up on reading. I've read 13 books in my leisure time, focusing on my dual degree as a PhD student 4 hours a day, then off to bed by 1 a.m., exercising an hour and a half each day, and I watch Netflix on the weekend. Have a glass of Night Train to unwind on Saturday nights. specifically Night Train. Okay, there you go. You got to deal with it somehow. Joe, hang on, okay? Okay. Joe Fassler is with us. He is a writer, author, and editor of the book Light the Dark. And we're talking about a piece that he wrote, which is fascinating, about how quarantines could fix our broken brains. And we're talking about how you can conquer boredom. And actually, boredom can be a good thing for our brains. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. What are you doing during the quarantine? And how are you battling the boredom as well? 312-981-7200.
Crickets chirping in a fall. Place. A summer breeze blowing, oh, love in your face.
But the moon has all set its sun in the hopes that the morning won't come. So I say,
Kansas City Express with This Is the Place. 312-981-7200 is the phone number on WGN. It's Nick DiGilio here live in the Skyline Studio until 4 o'clock, keeping you company, keeping you informed, and helping us all get through this, and we will get through this together. Jim Fry passed away, great Cubs manager. We're going to talk about great managers and coaches from the past, and also some of the crazy breakdowns that managers and coaches in sports have had over the years. Jigsaw puzzles are more popular than ever. We got a round of Ask Dr. Nick, and we have a classic Johnny Carson. We'll go back to 1987 for some Ellen DeGeneres at 2:30. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. My guest right now is Joe Fassler. He is the editor of a book called Light the Dark, and has written a fascinating piece about how the quarantine can fix our broken brains and how we deal with boredom. And we want to hear from you. What are you doing during this? How are you keeping yourself busy? How are you dealing with the boredom of being stuck inside? 312-981-7200 for talk or text, 312-981-7200. And Joe, we're back. Now, Joe, you mentioned that you have a three-year-old. You know, and a lot of people have kids and they're stuck in the house with kids. How do you think, if in the research that you've done and the writings that you've done, how do you think the concept of boredom differs between adults and kids?
I mean, that's one of the things that's been so fascinating to me, and in some ways so inspiring. You know, as I'm trying to find time each day to disconnect from email and disconnect from all the tasks I have to do on my to-do list and find time to just, you know, be in the moment and let my thoughts guide me and let my mind wander a little bit for all the reasons we've described. And looking at my son, who's three, you know, he's amazing at that. I mean, he will, you know, sit for hours, and he's obsessed with Legos, you know, like a lot of kids, and will obsess over it for hours, just kind of building incrementally and watching some sort of, you know, creation take place, but also together, you know, it's fun with sort of him as my guide. You know, we are converting the living room into, you know, elaborate forts or obstacle courses, you know, and coming up with all kinds of different strange imaginative games that are sort of back and forth between us. And so I think for kids, you know, it's unclear to the degree my son's mind can actually wander in the sense that mine will, and that there's an ongoing inner narrative, you know, that's sort of working out problems and thoughts and memories and in a kind of semi self-conscious way. But certainly the ability for children to be in the moment and to kind of inhabit, to sort of like direct their creative impulses is really inspiring and really wonderful and has been certainly for me a source of joy in a time that's certainly been difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, we were talking about how people can use their creativity when they're home by themselves and they're bored. There are people out there who kind of maybe underestimate their creativity. Is there any advice for that to get it going during this time?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's really true. Like I said, the research I've been looking at pretty much insists that, you know, composing a symphony and composing a grocery list, you know, sort of mentally, are actually more alike than we would think. And I think, you know, people have all kinds of different interests and hobbies and skills, but that kind of creative streak is something we all share in common. And so my rule for it is really, in order to derive benefits from that, you do have to make time for it. It really is too easy to, you know, to put on a movie, to surf the internet, to check your email, to kind of scroll through Twitter or social media, and let something external moderate your thoughts. All of the research shows that the value of this kind of thinking is through self-generated thought. So you're letting your brain wander. You're not letting something else chart the path for your thoughts. And if you can find time to do that, which often requires backing away from screens, that's when you start to get into this interesting problem-solving, creative zone that is boredom, that is task-unrelated thought. And so it just requires carving out time. So that's maybe, you know, people aren't really going outside right now, but normally I would say go for a walk and don't bring your phone. How can you approximate that experience while we're stuck at home? Well, you know, as a writer, I just, for me, and this is something that Stephen King has said in his wonderful book On Writing, is you need to put your butt in the chair. And if you just make sure your butt is in the chair for a couple hours each day, the writing will happen. And I think that there's analogs to that in the rest of our life. If you can find time where maybe you unplug your internet router, you know, for an hour, so that you're not tempted to do it and you can just kind of
be in an activity, even if it's just washing dishes, and let your mind wander a little bit. Let it see where it takes you. It's all about finding opportunities to back away from the stimulus and let our brains do what they do.
What about people who are still working? Because some of us are obviously still working. And what are the benefits of mind wandering for the people who are actually still working and not really at home as often as they as everybody else is?
It's a really good question. If people are essential workers, and are actually reporting into a job, certainly there's going to be a lot on your mind and less unstructured time. That said, I think that there are ways of maybe it's, during your commute, on the way to work, or even if you're at work, maybe you're stocking shelves or something in a grocery store. Maybe there's ways that you can kind of build out time, even if you're engaged with another pursuit, to let this happen a little bit. I mentioned before the researcher who I talked to for this article, Johnny Smallwood, and he says he's a professor of of psychology, and he really stakes the success of his career on the fact that he's run to work every day for throughout his career, and he says there's no way I'd be as successful and as productive if I hadn't carved out that time to allow my mind to wander, because that's when I start to kind of start problem solving, and that's when I have some of my most creative ideas. So yeah. I think there are, even if we're engaged in work right now, there's ways that we can build in routines that allow us to kind of back away from, the phone or the email or the Netflix and let our minds wander.
Okay. We got a couple of texts that have come in from the 312 area code. I actually found, when living alone, if I smoke some weed as I work, my light depressed state changes into an antidepressed state. Okay.
Yeah.
779 area code says, I'm working on model trains, organizing my workbench and drawers to get me through the days in quarantine. So people are keeping busy. And there are probably a lot of things that you haven't done around the house that people are now doing that they've put off, and that people, now they're home, they're going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we never have as much free time as we hope we will, and I think one experience of this quarantine for people has been, oh man, I'm home all the time and I'm still not getting that thing checked off the list that I had hoped to, but at the same time, there are opportunities now, and so maybe one way of looking at that or approaching at that is not just, okay, here's another chore I need to do. I need to, I need to hang this piece of artwork, or I need to, finish that renovation I'd been working on, or I need to do this or that piece of yard work. Think of that as a time to accomplish those things, but also as a task that can, again, help us back away from the screens and just enjoy the experience of being a human being with a mind and the sometimes surprising gifts that the wandering mind can provide for us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Joe, fascinating talking to you. The editor of is Light the Dark still available out there? Can you get it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's in most bookstores, and it's, of course, online at Amazon and other places. So it's a collection of, about 40 interviews with really well-known writers who talk about how they handle being alone and their own creative processes. So
Okay, great.
It's easy to find.
And we're looking for your novel to come out next year. It's called The Sky Was Ours.
That's right. Yeah, and I've been working on it for a long time. A lot of time in self isolation has led to that book. So,
all right. Well,
September,
Joe,
of next year.
September. Okay. Joe, fascinating to talk with you. Best of luck during this quarantine, and thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Nick. Really enjoyed it.
Okay. Joe Fassler, editor of Light the Dark, and the author of a piece called Quarantine Could Fix Our Broken Brains, talking about how to deal with boredom in this quarantine age. All right. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. One of the ways, people are doing jigsaw puzzles. So we're going to talk about how the jigsaw puzzles are enormously, enormously popular right now, and some of the more difficult jigsaw puzzles. And if you're a jigsaw puzzle enthusiast, call us or text us at 312-981-7200 here on 720 WGN.